All right, let's take a look at what it is we're supposed to be doing as a reliability engineer. So what is this reliability function after all? Well, it's the set of tasks, actions, and I would add encouragement that we provide as reliability professionals. Whether we're actually called a reliability engineer is kind of beside the point. It could be the lead of technical marketing that is leading the charge of the reliability function. But if you're taking the CRE, you're probably involved with some form or function of reliability. But let's take a closer look at what this really means and what's involved with that. One of the aspects in this idea of encouragement brings up that we're oftentimes in the role of an advisor or a consultant, either internally or externally, to the team that's developing a program or a system or a project or a system. The idea is that we enable the rest of the organization to make good decisions related to reliability in the product's eventual performance. We oftentimes are in a role of influence rather than of direct control, so that our function is really one of encouragement. It's probably the best word for it. The notion of is there a department for reliability or not is really kind of mute in my mind. I've worked with hundreds of companies and have done assessments of looking at their performance and their structure, and have found no correlation. I found shops that had no identifiable reliability engineers, but the function was embedded within the organization so that electrical engineers and the marketing team, program management, all embodied used all the appropriate tools, which we would normally associate with reliability engineering, to help them design and make decisions and to deliver a reliable product. On the other hand, I've seen organizations that likewise had no discernible reliability group or person, create products that just failed left and right, and they were constantly scrambling to fix major problems in the field. On the other hand, there's organizations like GE and Northrop Grumman that have rather robust centralized reliability groups, and they're in some cases world class. They contribute to the discipline in general with papers and studies and work that they do, but they also work with their development teams kind of like a consultant or as part of the team, but not in the direct line of approvals, which is very, very common. Now, reliability folks may find themselves reporting in through the engineering team, the operations team, or some other part of the organization, and we don't necessarily need to sit in any one place or another to be successful. It's a matter of where we exert our influence and where we gather our data and which parts of the product lifecycle makes the most sense for us to be involved. So each organization will be very different in how they approach and organize themselves. But in general, the functions remain pretty much the same. We're going to be looking at throughout this refresher course and throughout any time you're looking at the role of a reliability engineer, is we have really a couple different primary functions. One of them is to create and to put together and organize and maintain the infrastructure. How do we make measurements? What kind of lab facilities and failure analysis facilities do we have? What kind of reports of field data and what kind of analysis occurs with those things? When we're looking at designs, what parts of the product lifecycle are we most involved early on for risk identification or later for product verification and validation and product testing? Whatever part we're involved in, we generally are not operating alone. There's the need for technicians and for stability support for the equipments and labs that we may have available. We may be working with outside organizations to provide those services. We also may be working with the design team very closely to do studies and experiments and so on to provide the analysis they need to make good decisions. But it's all of that, all of those different elements of the roles that we play that then is tailored per program, per project, per situation. In my mind, there's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all. Yet, in general, we'll talk about it, a basic structure for program management and reliability programs in a later lesson. One thing we can do, it's part of the infrastructure, and it's also part of the, seems like the regular training that we provide our peers, is to create a reliability manual or a set of manuals. When I was at Hewlett-Packard, we had a couple of manuals that were very, very popular across the organization. One was the Design for Reliability manual, which had a basic definition of reliability, the corporate policy, but it also had 6 different disciplines or tools that we expected the engineers to use. So it gave some basic reliability statistics and basic a setting up of accelerated testing so that if somebody wanted to simply use a hinge more often than it would be expected to be used, they could do the design and testing and analysis of that themselves. Also provided some basic understanding of Weibull distributions and exponential distributions and so on. But there was another section that was on, for electrical engineers, just on derating. And we'll talk about that later in the session if you're not, or later in the lessons if you're not familiar with electrical engineering and component derating. But it's basically a process for selecting appropriate components such that they have sufficient margin for the amount of variability in the system and an environment. And there were 4 or 5 other segments that were found to be key tools for the design teams across the organization to keep in mind and to use on a regular basis. The other manual we used was an environmental test manual, and it was based on a military standard that listed a set of different environments where products are found. In the military, that's ground benign and aircraft, cabin, and outer space, and some rather exotic and harsh environments. The products I was working with were used in the home, were used in the office, were used in computer rooms or server rooms that were specially built and controlled environments for the equipment. And we also had an outdoor portable, for example, was another defined environment. Now, your products probably have a fairly limited set of environmental conditions of which they operate and can be defined fairly quickly. But you only need to do that for your family of products once and put it in a manual. So it's not just the testing. It's also what are those characteristics that are behind that testing. So if you're going to do a temperature exposure for your product and it's outdoor portable, well, what's the policy on this? Are you including on the dashboard on your car when it's in the sun? Are you in the car outdoors in a very cold environment, say minus 40 degrees? And what assumptions are you making for that range of values that you're setting as the specifications, essentially, for your environment? So it's a place to then have the test procedures. How are you going to evaluate a product for drop, for example, for shipping? What kind of shipping methods do you typically use and what kind of stresses are used there? So it becomes a repository for environmental conditions for sets of environments, say outdoor portable or the home environment, for example. And then it's tailored for each particular product, for things that are specific to that product. So then it's a collection of different tools and techniques and information that help people make good decisions as they design or evaluate their products. So it It's a pretty handy way to encode a lot of the policy statements, plus some very practical information that can really make a difference in your organization. Now, one question for you is, are you going to be the one responsible for reliability? Is it your job to, air quotes here, make the product reliable? No, probably not. But who really does the reliability engineering work on your product? Where do those decisions actually get made? So give that one a little thought. And if you feel like adding a comment into this lesson, or send back a question or your thoughts on this, I'd like to hear from you. Where do you think reliability happens? In the next section, which is a little bit longer one because of the span of number of tools involved, is we'll take a look at the product and process development.